Shabbat Shalom. This week's parsha is entitled Chaye Sarah, which means the life of Sarah. It is taken from Genesis chapter 23, verse 1 through chapter 25, verse 18. Now, as our parsha opens, we find that Sarah is 127 years old and about to pass away. At this time, Abraham is 137, and Isaac would be 37 years of age. Now, Sarah was 65 when she moved with Abraham to Canaan in this great act of faith. She lived an additional 72 years. When Sarah was 89, a year before Isaac was born, Scripture says she was old, well stricken in age, and barren. But by faith, she and Abraham were rejuvenated by God's power and gave birth to the promised son. Now, this is a powerful testimony of what great things can be done by faith through the power of God. Much of what Scripture says about Sarah's life is a report of her failures, which includes her failure to conceive before Isaac. But on the plus side of the ledger, Sarah finally had faith for the birth. She sang a song of faith after the birth of Isaac. And with Adonai changing her name from Sarai to Sarah, we read in Isaiah 51 and 2 that she is said to be the mother of all believers. Sarah died in Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Abraham and Sarah first moved to Hebron after the split with Lot. And it was at Hebron that Abraham entertained the heavenly guests and prayed for the sparing of the righteous in Sodom. The death of Sarah brought great sorrow to Abraham. The Scripture says that Abraham came to mourn and to weep for Sarah. But after mourning for his wife at Hebron, he left his dead wife and began bargaining for a portion of land as a burial site. In this legal transaction, Abraham wanted to purchase only the cave owned by Ephraim. But Ephraim wanted to sell the whole field. And when Ephraim said he would give the field and the cave, he didn't mean it was free. This was bargaining. And Abraham didn't want the whole field, but he was willing to take it and at the high price of 400 shekels of silver in order to get the cave. Now, buying this burial place was a true testimony to all his seed after him that he believed God would give the land of Canaan as a possession. And this had much to do with the fact that Sarah was not the only one buried in this grave. Abraham, Isaac and his wife Rebekah, Jacob and his wife Leah were all buried there. Every burial gave a strong testimony of faith. And it all began with Abraham purchasing this land and showing his belief in the covenant promises of the three-in-one God. This became a memorial sepulcher after the Holy See. And it is humbling to think that the only land Abraham received in the promised land was a grave. Chapter 24 could be called Here Comes the Bride. For it is all about Isaac obtaining a bride. This event occurred when Isaac was 40 years of age. We see the preparations made by Abraham for Isaac's marriage in the oath he administered to his servants, the conditions he exacts, the prohibitions he places upon him, the insurance he gives him, and the exemptions he grants. Isaac's wife shall be taken from Abraham's own people and not from among the Canaanites. And it was vital that the bride came to the land that was promised. She must come to Isaac to fulfill the promise of God. After all, it was Isaac's path, not hers, that had priority in the marriage. And Isaac was not to go to her land either. He was to be the leader in the home. Many men want the women to submit to them, but they are not willing to assume their leadership role. When the servant met Rebecca at the well, he was convinced that God had answered his prayers and that he had guided him directly to her. The girl was beautiful, intelligent, and strong. So Eliezer presented her with a few preliminary gifts, a nose ring, and then two bracelets, all glamorous and extremely valuable. Now here is a perfect picture of Messiah and his church. Rebecca was a pure virgin, just as the church would be when the marriage in heaven takes place. Also note that Rebecca identified with the flock. Just as the church is both the bride of Messiah and the flock. The custom of Abraham's day generally had the parents making the entire choice as to which man would be their daughter's husband. But here, Rebecca is given the privilege of having a say in the choice. She chooses to be Isaac's wife. Rebecca's mother and brother were disposed to keep her for a while, but when asked what she preferred, Rebecca declared her willingness to begin the journey immediately. This was a momentous decision for her to make. Her new home was a long ways off, and she would probably never see her family again. She was stepping out on faith, just as Abraham and Sarah had done years before. Her new life in Canaan was to be her reward. Now, Rebecca's veiling of herself once Isaac was identified to her suggests that this is her way of demonstrating to him that she is his bride. Sarah's tent, due to her status as mistress of the household, would have been empty since her death. By taking Rebecca into his mother's tent, Isaac demonstrates that Rebecca is now the mistress of the household. Chapter 25 brings us to the closing years of Abraham. Abraham marries his third wife, Keturah. Still rejuvenated by God's power, he has six more sons, including Midian. Again, consider how God blessed Abraham in everything. Abraham passes on his wealth to his sons, giving the greatest part to Isaac. He dies at the age of 175. So now what can we take away from this parsha? We see the importance of faith and serving with obedience. We know that by trusting and believing in God that he will bring the promises to pass. Sarah and Abraham passed away, but yet the promises of God continued on to the next generation. But look at the lessons that we glean from this servant. This servant is a picture of the Holy Spirit, whose work is to bring the lost to Yeshua and thus make up his bride. The servant's name is not given because the ministry of the Spirit is to point to Yeshua and to glorify him. Also, this servant's carried with him a portion of the master's wealth. Just as the Holy Spirit today is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, sharing with us but a small portion of the great wealth which we shall one day in the eternal kingdom enjoy in glory with our heavenly Father, God, and King. Shabbat shalom.